1450 KMAN.
And welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. Legislative previews continue here. The legislative session for state of Kansas comes up beginning on January 14th. Last week, we sat down with 66th District Representative Sidney Carlin, who joined us in studio. This is a pre-recorded interview, so no phone calls will be taken. Here's our conversation. Good morning. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. We continue our legislative previews here today. We're talking with Kansas lawmaker, 66th District Representative Sidney Carlin, who joins us in studio. Sidney, it's a pleasure to have you on here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
We just, I know, wrapped up the election here not that long ago. You were reelected here to another term. First of all, what does it mean to you to continue serving here in that role?
That's an interesting question. It means a lot. I mean, I have been in office basically most of the time since 93. And I did take a few years off and finished my college degree. And also then I remodeled a house and we moved. But it's a community that really needs strong representation of its people and its university. And I've learned what that takes. And so it's a lot easier to work there now after a few years under my belt. But it just means a lot to me to be able to represent people who otherwise might not be heard.
All right. Well, it's this time of year when you're getting ready to go back to work here in Topeka, I mean, is there anything you start to look forward to here as the time gets a little closer?
Well, right now I'm looking forward to the inauguration of our new governor and the celebration at the ball on the 14th of January. It is wonderful to me to have a Democratic governor and a woman. The women governors in Kansas have done very, very well for Kansas, and I'm really excited that with Laura Kelly and with her running mate, also Lynn Rogers, who is a very strong background in banking and rural banking, and so he understands the needs of the rural economy, which is depressed right now. And, you know, if there's anything the state can do, he will be able to lead us in that direction. So I'm excited just about the change in leadership.
Yeah, well, I know she kind of campaigned a lot on being the anti-Sam Brownback and, you know, and anti-Jeff Collier as well, and Chris Kobach. But in terms of her leadership and how you think she'll work with a Republican majority there, how do you think that's going to sort out here this session?
Well, it's interesting to watch as we elected leadership in both houses or both sides of the House a week ago or so. I noticed that the Republican leadership is really much more conservative than it was in the last couple of years. And I think that's a real challenge for all of us. But I've worked with all of these individuals for several years, and I've also managed to pass legislation with them as committee chairs. And so I'm not too concerned that Laura will have trouble working with the individuals. It's the policies that we'll have to compromise on, and she's good at that. She's been in the Senate for 14 years, so she's also very versed in what really makes Kansas work.
All right, and I know one of the hot topics that will come up once again, because it has to, is education funding. And I know last year we made a little bit more progress to getting that fixed here. Where do you think education funding goes here this session?
Well, we will find the money to do what the court requires of us. I'm sure that will be a priority, and we will manage to do that. The changes in the income tax law in 2012, which devastated the state, have been largely reversed, not totally. We still are collecting less from individuals than we were in 2012 before the tax cuts. So we've kind of struck a happy medium on tax receipts, and it is proving that we can fund government with the amount of money we're getting. So I expect we will meet the demands of the court. And right now, I know that we have about a $90 million need to add money to the special education budget. It's been underfunded year after year. The court said that we need to fund it, and it was just released. I read an article yesterday about that, and I already knew it was out there, that it should be done. But now they're starting to talk about the $90 million for special ed. And also, we have about $105 million for the lack of support for the cost of CPI, the cost of the for the price of inflation over the years from 2012 to date. We have not kept up with inflation, and that's about $105 million. So we're looking at adding about almost $200 million, $195 million to education, just to meet the demands of the court and from the, well, it is the demands of the public, because the court only acts on public suits.
Yeah,
it's not their own business. It's the public that brings it.
Well, I know a lot of a lot of people want to know where the money's going to come from here. If that's going to affect road and bridge or what? Where do you think that money will come from?
It should come from the revenue that we created with the change in the, by repealing the brownback cuts. I think the revenue will be there. I think we don't have to take it from somebody else. The highway fund was decimated, and we do absolutely have to start working with our roads and bridges again and putting out the money. But we do have some, you know, we do have plans for roads and bridges in the budget. Governor will create a budget based on what the legislature has recommended for the two-year budget cycle, and then where her priorities are will also be reflected in that budget, and she's working on it right now.
As far as increasing salaries for teachers, is that going to be a component of the bill, do you think, or with the increase in funding?
You know, I actually believe that the local school boards set the teacher pay based on how much money they receive from the state. We have done some things to teachers that have been very detrimental. We have cut their ability to bring, we've cut their tenure, we've cut their ability to take money out of their checks for their union dues, and also we've stopped their ability to bargain. So we've got some things that we've taken care of, some of these things in the last year, but there are more things that we can do for teachers. But I really don't think we set the pay for teachers, so maybe I should check that.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, of course, here being in Manhattan, a college town, Kansas State University, the colleges, I know, are also looking for more state funds. And I know that's kind of been a little bit more maybe on the back burner here with this big priority here. But is that a discussion you guys do you think will be brought up in the session?
I serve on Appropriations Committee, and we do discuss that every year. And we do all we can with what we have, supposedly. The priorities of the governor have prevailed for the last 8 years, and that has not been a priority. So now that we have a sound revenue source, I think that we can start to fulfill the needs of the universities as well. We have taken, I believe it's like $34 million from higher education over the last few years, and we restored like a little bit last year, like $4 million. It's not enough, and we need to start rebuilding. I did not support any of those cuts to higher education, and with that to be clear, but education is changing. And since we have had those devastating cuts, I'm sure that everything's being done differently in all of our universities. So they've achieved more efficiencies than they thought they could possibly achieve. And I think that if we can begin to fund the universities a little better now, then we can expect a really good product out of the universities, which we always have. But, you know, they can start to be able to rebuild and maybe see some new directions, which is an opportunity. community, I think, that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I think the people who get maybe the raw end of that when the cuts are there is the students and paying the higher tuition rates.
Absolutely. We have just increased the student fees tremendously. And I don't know what percentage that is right now, so we probably don't need to go there. But the regents have allowed tuition increases year after year because there just wasn't enough money to fund the education. I will say K-State has always been a bargain, and I'm sure all of the other Regents schools are as well. It's amazing how low the tuition was when I was in school. I graduated in 2000, and it was very low then. So, you know, I think if you look at it across the nation, you have to realize that it costs money to educate people, and we needed to fund it better from the state level, and I hope that the student increases will stop.
And we'll continue our conversation with 66th District Representative Sydney Carlin when we return on News Radio KMAN.